And good morning. Welcome to Health Essentials. This is Dr. Morgan. Oh, man, is it beautiful outside or what? If you haven't been outside today, go outside right now and just soak it all up. I took a voltmeter, and I walked outside and I put the red. Which lead did I put in there? I think I put the black lead in. I stuck it right in the ground, and then I kept my feet in sandals, and then I held the red lead in my right hand. You know, you're making contact with the metal. And I had it measured on millivolts. And so I tested it over and over again. I would get just like a little bit of a millivolt reading, not much. And please, don't mistake me as being the greatest expert when it comes to voltmeters. I am not. I have watched YouTube videos so I can try to figure out how to understand how they work and how you can measure anything electronic or measure electricity. But what's so fascinating to me is when I put my bare feet on the ground and then I make contact with the red lead. You remember the black one that's stuck in the ground. Man, I measure a bunch of voltage. That's in millivolts. See, there's electricity coming through the earth. I don't know how you could not just stand in awe of God's creation when you see things like that. If you have a voltmeter, dust it off, pop a new battery into it, and go outside and do it for yourself. Find out how much energy is coming through the earth. See, you can't see it, but the earth has its own electromagnetic field. It's truly amazing. That would be a pretty good, sales pitch for why grounding or earthing might be so extremely beneficial. Or sleeping on the ground. Why that could be so beneficial. All right. I hate to say it, but this is new information to me because I heard the other day that maybe the greatest antioxidant that's ever been measured or tested is a substance known as ergothionine. And I thought to myself, man, I don't know that I've really studied that in detail. So I became very curious. Now, do you know what the definition of a vitamin is? It's just really an essential nutrient. And the reason I'm bringing that up is you think for example, if you had a lack of iron in your diet, I know that's a mineral, but I'm going to say it's an essential nutrient, right? You've got to have it. If you don't have it, you're going to have what? Anemia. Do you want to wreck your health? Well, become anemic. That'll be a pretty good way to do it. Or, for example, if you were very low in vitamin A, you might have just horrible night vision. Or you might get sick all the time. Or what if you were deficient in an essential nutrient called vitamin C? Well, things are not going to go well for you. You might just bruise severely and excessively. You may develop scurvy. Not a good situation to be in. So here's this compound that I just heard about called ergothionine. It's got a sulfur molecule in it. It's probably a polypeptide or an amino acid. It comes from histidine. But it's touted as the most powerful antioxidant of all time. So what I did was I went to my computer and I typed in research on ergothionine. And man, it's just amazing. I thought to myself, man, I want to know more about this. Now, this should be classified as an essential vitamin or a nutrient. Like, we got to have it. And maybe they should have an RDA on it. I don't know. But here's some of the basic things that I found out. Number one, ergothionine, it decreases significantly after the age of 60. And you're probably saying, well, what bearing does that have on anything? Well, one of the highest concentrations of ergothionine that can be measured is in the lens of the eye. And so they've looked at research forwards and backwards, and they can predict who is going to develop a cataract and who is not going to have a cataract. It's all based on the amount of ergothionine, which can be measured in the lens of the human eye. So when you have a more optimal amount of ergothionine as an antioxidant, guess what it does? It protects the lens from the formation of cataracts. You know, those cloudy, oxidized, rusting molecules that wreck your lens and keep you from seeing well. So anyway, that's one piece of research that I found very interesting. The highest cataract formation is always associated with very low levels of ergothionine. Maybe you ought to write that down if you have family members that have just suffered horribly from cataracts, okay? The next one. This one also kind of blew my mind, too. They've shown that cognitive function, and that's the ability to be able to process information and to remember things and to have communication with other human beings and to think properly about things. But they've shown that cognitive dysfunction goes hand in hand with ergothionine, which means when you have less ergothionine in the brain, guess what happens? Your brain ages most rapidly. Okay, are you with me on that? Here's probably one of the main points I want to get to. You know, you're only going to live and thrive and function at a high level as long as your capillary beds and your arteries and veins are in great working order. That's one of the main roles of ergothionine. If you and I said, what is the number one cause of death of human beings in America? Well, it's going to be heart disease, isn't it? I just find it so fascinating. There was a section of research that covered neurodegenerative diseases such as Parkinson's disease and dementia and Alzheimer's. Well, ergothionine has this interesting ability to cross the blood-brain barrier, but when you have plenty of it, it prevents beta amyloid plaque from building up. Another piece of information that I thought was interesting, they have discovered that people that have long COVID, you know, the long haulers, let's just say, for example, they had COVID-19, but they ain't the same ever since they had that. Does that make sense? They could say, I had it back in 2020, but I have never been the same. Or they're showing now that ergothionine levels are usually very, very low. And so you got to just grasp in your mind. Just play along with me. You need ergothionine in order to keep all the cells of your body in good working order. It's almost like it is so essential to the health of a cell that if your cell has plenty of it, your cells can stay healthy and strong and be in great working order. When I looked at where's the highest concentrations, well, it's in your blood. You know, maybe there's something to what God has told us in the book of Leviticus. The life of the flesh is found in the blood. At least that's what I want to think of. I just mentioned the lens of the eye. Seminal fluid from men, very high in ergothionine. It's also found in the liver and in the bone marrow. When I saw the bone marrow, though, I thought to myself, see, that's where stem cells are. And that's the repair system of the body. You've got to have your bone marrow / stem cells. You want plenty of them. Because when you have an accident or something breaks or you have damage to your body or you have inflammation, oh my goodness, you're going to need your stem cells to rise to the occasion and start producing all the repair molecules. You know, I was telling a guy yesterday, he's such a great guy to talk to. That's because he agrees with everything I say. I'm just joking. He does not. But anyway, to make a long story short, all of us have heard about the digestive system, the nervous system. What would the nervous system be? Well, that would be the brain and the spinal cord and all the nerves of the body, right? You get that? What about the digestive system? Well, I think I'm going to include the liver in that deal. I probably would include the spleen too, but your stomach and your intestines, your pancreas, all those are essential to being able to extract food and nutrients from the food that you're eating so that you can deliver them to all the tissues of the body. Well, we don't almost never, that wasn't good English, but when's the last time you say, instead of talking about the circulatory system, I want to talk about the repair system. Well, that's where the bone marrow comes in. There's got to be a reason why the bone marrow needs ergothionine to stay in great working order. And which, when I looked at some of the studies, were just phenomenal. They're saying now that now just get what I'm saying right here. Use your imagination for just a moment. And I want you to consider, maybe you're not in the situation, maybe you are. But there's going to be some people you come across, they move so slowly. They have become so weak. They have lost so much of their bone mass. They've lost so much of their muscle mass. There's a pretty good chance they've had very significant atrophy, or if you want to call it shrinkage of the brain, that could be true. But they're saying now one of the greatest markers of frailty. That means a person has just become so frail. That's not good if you want to be strong. Is ergothionine. Man, I wish we could do a blood test on everybody to measure their ergothionine, because then you could say, well, I'm just going to start eating the foods that contain it. That would be smart. They also, I know I'm kind of hitting right here, but they think that ergothionine is the number one metabolite that's associated with aging of the body, which means if you have plenty of it, you're not going to age as fast, but if you lack it, you're going to age real fast. Does that sort of make sense? They've also looked at mortality. You know, is there any reason this person might be at a higher risk of dying? Well, lo and behold, ergothionine tends to be, and I'm going to get to the punchline momentarily, so thanks for hanging with me on this. But another, two more things that I uncovered that I just thought was amazing, and I haven't been able to pursue these because I just read them this morning early, but I want to pursue it. But they talk about people that have chronic pain, and they measure their ergothionine levels. And when they start giving them foods, which be everything from black beans to mushrooms to garlic, I found out that red meat is a very significant source of ergothionine. Brazil nuts, pistachios, garlic. Probably some of the big ones would be, I think it's called the king oyster mushroom, the enoki. Is that right? Enoki, E-N-O-K-I. Enoki. Or the shiitake mushrooms. Mushrooms have all these great things that we need, but the chief of them is going to be ergothionine. But get this right here. And I need to reread this, study it, and look at the reference and see if I can find the article. But they showed that, let me back up just slightly. Have you ever been around somebody that had a major severe case of depression? They have no ambition. They have no drive. There's no interest in anything. Everything is just blah and morose, and there's a black cloud. It's just horrible. Everything can be maybe associated with a negative connotation. I'm not saying that to be negative at all. I'm just kind of saying how it is. But they showed in one study that people that were prone to major, major depression, it went away when they supplemented them with ergothionine. So I'm going to go back to what I began with. Well, maybe it is one of the most essential nutrients that God has designed for us that we need. It's like anything else. Never underestimate what can happen to the human organism when you just give them the nutrients they need. Give them what they need, and then the cells can be in good repair. Another way of saying this is, every person that's sick that has a problem, well, lo and behold, there's going to be a nutrient they're deficient in, or a mineral, or a protein, or a fatty acid. And if we could just give them what they need, guess what your body can do? It can get back into good repair. Well, the other one, if I didn't cover it, was just dealing with chronic pain. And I'm going to try to pursue this one also, but when they measure ergothionine levels and they're low, real common with somebody that has chronic pain. Now, do you know what I mean by that? I'm talking about pain that just doesn't resolve. The body is not able to heal. And so in my mind, I keep going back to the idea that your bone marrow is a rich, you know, bank account of ergothionine. There's got to be a reason behind that. But your bone marrow, that's where your stem cells are. If you've got problems of any kind, that is what you want, my friend. You want your stem cells to be able to rise to the occasion and start fixing and repairing everything. This guy I was talking to this week told me he had to take his pickup to the shop, and it was there a long time, and he went to check on it. And when he checked on it, it was like scattered in pieces. They put up stuff against the door and the body. It was all scratched up. He said he walked in the shop and all four tires were off and they just had the brake rotors on the concrete. And I thought to myself, man, that does not look good. But he said it was just a mess. They had parts everywhere. Well, what you want is you want order to the body. And so when I heard that ergothionine might actually be the most potent, when I say most potent, you could also interchange that for effective, efficiency, anything that's going to give you the best chance to heal. Does that sort of make sense? Well, my goodness, when I start reading these studies on chronic pain, I'm telling you, this might, who knows who this could help. I'm going to certainly use it. The other one, and then I'll be done with it, and I'll read you this study that I came across right here. Okay, there's an autoimmune disease called Crohn's disease, and this is the first time that I've uncovered this or I've read this. I mean, I'm not the researcher here. All I'm doing is just reading the studies. But they've shown that ergothionine can be of great benefit in helping aid those people that have Crohn's disease. So maybe what I want to do is I want to kind of turn this around and say, maybe Crohn's disease or chronic pain or people that are depressed or frail or they've got heart problems or they can't get well, maybe they just have an ergothionine deficiency. I know that sounds radical. So here's where it's found. It's found in mushrooms, Brazil nuts, pistachios. A good source is black beans. Okay, some people like those. I do. Garlic. It was so interesting that oatmeal and red meat. So maybe there's a different way of looking at this. I know that red meat gets a bad rap from some groups of people that it's a bad deal. But what if it has the... Okay, let's just say it this way. What if you refuse meat, but you've got chronic severe pain and you're depressed and everything's going wrong? Maybe there's some nutrients in red meat like ergothionine that might actually be in your best interest. Okay, I have not covered the immune system, but I came across this article right here. It says, what's the title of it? Okay, I don't know. I mean, I try to copy and scribble notes down, but let me just say it this way. They're saying basically that if you eat an average of 20 grams of mushrooms, such as an oyster mushroom or a shiitake or a button mushroom, I mean, those are everywhere in the grocery store. You go to the produce section, which is where you really should hang out, you can get your mushrooms. And I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, I have been fantasizing, Dr. Morgan, all week long about eating liver and onions, but now that you brought this up, I'm going to saute me some button mushrooms or some shiitakes with my liver and onions. I'm sure I'm right about that. But they said the chance of developing cancer is 45% lower if you just include mushrooms in your diet. I mean, folks, I can't make that stuff up. The study comes from Penn State College of Medicine. I'm not going to go into all the different studies, but all they're doing is they're just trying to find out, is there any association between any form of cancer and the consumption of edible mushrooms? Why do they say edible mushrooms? Because there's some people out there that are not smart enough to know not to eat wild mushrooms that could be super, super toxic, like the death cat mushroom. And you're probably thinking, why are you bringing that up? Because a couple died in California by harvesting death cat mushrooms, and they ate them. Why would they do that? Unless they did it on purpose. I don't know about that. Okay, here's the results right here. When the researchers compared the study participants with the highest mushroom intakes, that was about 20 grams, so that's less than an ounce, they found that if you had mushrooms, you develop cancer less significantly or less often than the latter group. That's people that had, with an average intake of 20 grams of mushrooms a day, the risk of cancer is 45% less than with an intake of 0 grams. That means they never ate mushrooms. Now, out of all these studies, I know by looking at it, the number one hit was breast cancer, preventing breast cancer. And I think it's just, and I'm not saying that mushrooms don't work on other forms of cancer. They do. But they just have the largest number of studies against aggressive breast cancer cells. So maybe this doesn't interest you, this topic. But it does me. I mean, I don't want anybody to suffer. Okay, in a nutshell, I hear this phraseology all the time. My oncologist, that's a cancer doctor, says radiation and chemo are no longer working. We've done surgery on you, but we can't stop the cancer from growing. Now we want to go to immunotherapy. And you know what immunotherapy is? It's going to be their version of how do we help your immune system do a much better job of being aggressive and going after the cancer cells, because now radiation's not working. That's not stopping the cancer. And chemotherapy is not working. That's not stopping the cancer. So we want to try immunotherapy. Well, have you ever thought about mushrooms? So mushrooms contain these polysaccharides. One of the biggest ones is called ergothionine. It's kind of like my topic today. Now, you could call me and ask me a lot of questions, and I may not know the answer to them. But right now, I'm really interested in studying ergothionine because God made it. I just can't help but stand in just a little bit more awe of His creation and just say, wow, He made that. So if you want your immune system to be more robust and more efficient at being able to go after a cancer cell or a tumor, well, just consider that maybe the immunotherapy that God designed for us is called mushrooms. This is Preventive Medicine 2012. It says edible mushrooms contain ergothionine in a bioavailable form. Yes, I know that was 13 years ago, but I'm just now reading that. It says here that humans cannot produce ergothionine, but food scientists have discovered that these compounds keep the joints flexible. That kind of goes back to what I was saying a while ago about people that have the most pain. They have the lowest measurable levels of ergothionine, but then when they start giving them foods that are rich in it, well, lo and behold, the pain starts to go away. How you like them apples? It says right here that ergothionine, and I know I'm being redundant, slows down brain aging. Well, that's your ticket to keeping your body and your mind and your life's purpose in great working order. Kind of hard to do all the things that God's given you to do if your brain doesn't work right. But you got ergothionine. What else here? Okay, that's enough of that article. Did I like it? Did I beat that one to death? Okay, the phone number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, will you please spell that for us?
Ergo is E-R-G-O.
Okay.
It's really one word, but I'm just trying to break it down.
Right, okay.
And then the middle part is thio, T-H-I-O.
Mm-hmm.
And the last part is neine, which is N-E-I-N-E.
Okay, that is very helpful.
Okay, good deal.
All right, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll keep listening.
All righty, bye-bye.
All right.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line once again open, 903-589-8507. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing great, thank you.
It's been a long time since I've talked to you.
At least a day or two.
Yeah, longer than that, unfortunately. As a matter of fact, I just passed your office.
You mean right now?
I'm just past Rusk. Yeah.
Was that you that was honking like wild while ago, driving
like,
past?
Exactly, yes, of course, just so that you would know who I was.
Okay, it's all making sense now.
There you go.
Well, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. I'm on the road again, a quick day trip. Question about ergothionine. Does it come in supplement form, or is it only in...
They've got it in supplement form, and it's not very expensive. So, like, if you wanted a, a website that sells a lot of supplements, which I think the top seller of supplements in the world is Amazon.com. You're going to find a lot of different...
Top seller of anything.
Yeah, just about. But I wonder if they sell a lot of Bibles. I bet they do.
Well, I've bought a few off of them, yes.
How about that? So have I. Well, look, we have so much in common. We have both purchased Bibles from Amazon.com. But yeah, they do.
Isn't it wonderful?
I think most of the supplements are right about 30 milligrams per capsule. Now, You could ask me a highly intelligent question like, is that the right dose? I don't know the answer to it. I think probably yes, but I need to do more study and find out what's been, because I haven't read one study where they gave a supplement yet, only from foods.
Okay.
So you know the stuff works great.
Say how many capsules or tablets or whatever a day.
Oh, I don't have an answer for you. But
look here, at the bottle and go with it.
Yeah, but let me tell you this right here. I looked up toxicity. And so the idea of toxicity means, can this stuff poison me? Can I overdose on it? I have not found anything that even remotely suggests this could be have toxicity to it. So it's real safe.
Awesome. Because I was thinking about not only for my health, but for my neighbor that I had texted you about, the cancer in the stomach, esophagus, and on the liver.
Now, that is specifically one of the markers they looked at was the development of stomach cancer and the ergothionine.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the part when I was talking about immunotherapy? That means what can we do to bolster the immune system so it could just do its job better at going after tumors or cancers and heal them?
I did.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, it's something I want to recommend to them and have them Google so they can have their own.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I always like it when people...
I think everything you say is gospel.
You mean everything?
Okay, most everything.
Okay, good. I think you're entitled to question, what if I recommended that you drink moonshine on the way to work? That would be a bad recommendation, wouldn't it?
That probably might not be a good idea.
And have you ever experimented? No, I'm joking.
But it'd be a more interesting day.
the model that I've looked at was where they had gastric cancer. That's the same as stomach cancer.
Right.
And they're showing that one of the ways that you prevent that, they had an inverse relationship, which means when ergothionine was elevated, the risk of stomach cancer was almost zero. So I don't know about, I haven't read the articles where they talk about using it for like cancer treatments, but it kind of stands to reason that if it's the most powerful antioxidant that God designed for the body, then it would be a very, very advantageous benefit to anybody that considered it and they actually took it. But yeah, they have it in supplement form. Sure do.
Awesome. That's what I was needing to know. I appreciate you so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, you betcha.
Thank you.
Hey, have a good day, man. Good talking to you.
And you the same. Okay.
Thank you.
Good talking to you too.
Hey, thank you very much. Bye bye.
I will call soon.
Okay, sounds good. I like it when people like to take care of themselves, and I like it when people are very curious. That does not offend me at all for a person to say, "Have you read this study?" I answer no so many times to that because I can't read everything, but it's so interesting. I can read a little bit every day, though. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Oh, wow, let me turn my radio down.
Okay, good deal.
Okay, I haven't talked to you or listened. Yes, you're welcome. I haven't listened to you in forever. My wife was real sick, and so...
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Do you remember about 30 years ago they said eggs were bad for you, then they turned everything around and said they're good?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
Well, back in those days, my dad was still alive, and they told him nightshade vegetables were terrible for his arthritis.
Now, did that prove to be true?
I have no idea. It's been a while. My dad's passed away since. He was sort of a guinea pig for the VA. I hope that's permissible on the radio show.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want. Freedom. We were protected by the First Amendment, freedom of speech.
Thank you very much.
And I realize everybody's going to say... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say, I know that this is a family program, and I don't think I've ever had anybody call in and say anything really inappropriate before, from my perspective. So this is just a good, wholesome program. So you're good.
Oh, good.
Did your father pass away from prostate cancer?
No, he had degenerative arthritis, and he had his aorta rupt, and so they repaired it with mesh. And after he passed, then all these claims come out against the mesh being used, and it was just too painful to pursue it. We just let it go, and praise the Lord that we had the time we had with him.
Yes, and I think that's the problem. I frequently read that Bible verse, vengeance is mine. But yeah, he was done wrong, but I'm glad you were able to overlook the offense and just move on. That was, what a great man
you
were.
Oh, thank you. I was in Bible study the other day, really it was a prayer meeting, and a gentleman said his wife keeps getting UTIs and kidney stones. Now, I know lemon and water helps. Is there anything a little more severe, like a pack on the side with castor oil or a vitamin or something she can eliminate?
I really like what you said a while ago. I think if I were to give just a simple recommendation for every human being that's listening, if a person wants to be in a better working order, then you've got to have their body do a good job of what's called detoxification, or if I say the word cleansing, you get where I'm coming from, don't you?
Sure.
So if every person that's listening were to start their day by squeezing fresh lemon juice into a cup of water and drinking it, I think that probably 30% of the population would be so much healthier, maybe even more. Because lemon juice contains all these natural compounds. One of them would be an essential oil called limonene. Very, very good at cleansing toxins from the body. So that's just one point. And that's one of the roles of your kidneys, right? To constantly filter and purify and keep the blood clean. So the lemon is a brilliant strategy. And it may even be that if she had lemon juice every single day, what that may do is that may prevent stone formation.
Would that help with the UTIs too?
Yeah, UTIs. And so can I kind of break this down into two or three different categories, pretty please?
Sure.
Okay. There have been probably two or three studies over the last 5 years where they've tried to tackle the question of why does a woman get a UTI and then 3 months later, after two rounds of antibiotics, it comes back with a vengeance. And she goes, great, I just had that 3 months ago and now it's back again. So they've shown that women that really struggle with UTIs, you can look at a couple factors. But the number one that I'm going to put on the list is going to be there's just too many toxic germs living in the colon or the gut. And so they give up.
Are we talking about a parasite?
Well, the definition of a parasite would be an organism that starts living in the human body and eating your food, and then it starts releasing all its waste. You know, it goes to the bathroom inside of us. So yeah, you could look at that as a parasite because it doesn't have any benefit. It's not like the toxic bacteria like E. coli or Pseudomonas or Streptococcus or Staph is doing us any favors. What I'm suggesting is there's a strong overgrowth of toxic bacteria living in her gut. And so you have to address that. So one of the ways you can do that is you can say, you know what, I think I've eaten about as much sugar and junk food as my body can handle. Maybe that's why I'm having these UTIs. And so the less sugar that a woman eats, the fewer UTIs she's going to have. All right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. The other thing that she could do, have you ever heard of vitamin C before being essential to the immune system, being able to prevent infection?
Could I ask you why vitamin C with rose hips is better than regular vitamin C? I don't want to take up all your time.
Nope,
I know
there's
other callers.
No, you're asking a good question. Well, rose hips, so when a rose flower, I'm sorry, this woman came into my office yesterday with a huge Band-Aid. You know when she had that Band-Aid on her hand? Because she got cut up by a horrible thorn on a rose bush. It was like a pretty big gap. But anyway, enough of that. The rose hips is going to be that seed bulb that the flowers come from, or where the rose could propagate itself. But rose hips, oh my goodness, they're like a great source of vitamin C. And that's what I was fixing to say. One of the greatest sources of vitamin C in the universe is sauerkraut.
Oh, okay.
So if you were to go to the store and buy raw sauerkraut, they have to keep it in the refrigerated or the refrigerator section to keep it fresh. But if she just ate a forkful of sauerkraut every day, that may be enough to tilt the tide in her favor or the balance in her favor, where she may get rid of the urinary tract infections.
You had me eating cabbage 4 years ago. I'd go get the Bumby in the glass bottle or whatever
it was.
Oh,
yeah. Good job. Excellent. Way to go, yeah, man.
One last question. I'll let you go. I'm 69. I've got a spare tire. I'm 205. I know I need to exercise more, but I don't want to do this GP1, and I don't think I'm big enough to take it. Any suggestions on the midsection?
Okay, well, what you got to do is you got to train your body to burn sugar more efficiently, and you could do that just by walking or riding a bicycle or an exercise bicycle. But the longer you do it, the better, and let me kind of sort of explain. For the first 10 to 12 minutes of going for a walk, your body is just burning 100% sugar. But what you're asking is, how can I get my body to burn fat more efficiently? Isn't that true?
Yes, sir.
So the longer that you walk, you know, for a length of time, so once you hit about the 42 to 45 minute mark, your body is just burning 100% fat. So the longer you walk, the more you're tapping into and helping your body become more efficient at regaining its ability to convert fat into energy. So you could do that on an exercise bike. Some people just knock it out of the park with a rowing machine.
Huh.
They might turn the music on or a book on tape or watch television while they're just rowing away. Slow and gentle. Nothing too hard. Or some people do a technique called slow jogging that works great.
Is that in place or is that out or on a treadmill?
Either way. Or you could just go outside. But if you went to YouTube and typed in research on slow jogging, I think you're going to be extremely pleased. And this stuff even works for people that have very, very bad joints.
Oh, okay. 4 years ago, you recommended raw honey on a ringworm, and it worked like a charm.
It did?
It did.
Man, I'm sure.
It was either poison ivy or a ringworm.
You know what? I see people that if they even look toward poison ivy 100 yards away, they'll get it. That's just horrible. The other day I walked right through it. I think it rubbed up against me. It doesn't do anything to me. Now, I know that's horrible to say, but I'm so thankful that I don't react to it that way. Now, I did test stinging nettle the other day. I said, you know what? I think I'm going to kick this plant with sharp spikes to see what happens. No, I just accidentally brushed up against it. But, you know, it feels like fire ants are biting.
Yes, it does.
So if your friend would just do a change on the flora in her gut, one thing that she could do, she could start eating avocados every day. Another thing would be sauerkraut every day, cutting out the sugar. But garlic is the world champ for fixing these things. If she started taking garlic every single day, that would be in her best interest to be in much better. She would have much cleaner bacteria living in her gut instead of these toxic ones. Garlic is the champ.
This is an embarrassing question, but like I said, it's been 4 years. I happened to tune in on you. I know you were down.
Oh, no, I don't mind embarrassing you. Go ahead, please.
What rate? All right. Just run with it. What radio station are you on?
This is 90.3 FM. It's called KBJS.
That's right.
And a lot of people just go on the internet and type in kbjs.org, and they can listen to it live or whenever they want.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is an FM station right here in Jacksonville. You know, Jacksonville has the greatest football stadium in the world. Just voted. Did you know that?
Not only that, I think they have some good tomatoes, don't they?
You know what? I think you're right. That's great.
It's been good talking to you, Dr. Morgan.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Enjoyed it also. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There is a phone line open. It's area code 903-589-8507. All righty. Thank you very much for your phone call.
Morning, Dr. Morgan.
Good morning, sir.
Say, on both of my feet, starting counting the big toe as number one, on the left foot, on toe three and four, and on the right foot on toe three, my toenails are turning frosty white.
Yeah, you're not getting enough blood flow to them.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
there's a lot of ways we could play this. If the toenails start to turn a different color other than normal, that's usually poor circulation. You're just not able to generate enough capacity of oxygen and nutrients.
I really think I probably don't have poor circulation.
Okay. Well, no, fair enough.
That's just my guess, though, my unprofessional guess.
Well, can I ask you a follow-up question, please?
Sure.
Are you taking any pharmaceutical drugs of any kind?
Yeah.
And what are they?
Flomax type drug.
Okay. By the way, that's poor circulation to your prostate, but go ahead.
Amlodipine.
That's called poor circulation throughout your body.
Really?
Yeah. So, no, I respect where you're coming from, where you're saying, I don't think that's correct. I don't think it's because I have a lack of blood flow or oxygen delivery. But that's what the toenails do. They start to change colors, and they don't look normal when you don't get enough oxygen to them every single time.
Well, how can I get more oxygen to them?
Okay, one of the simple things you can do is you can start walking barefoot everywhere you go, whether it's outdoors or indoors. I realize there's a time and a place to wear shoes. Like if you go to church tomorrow, maybe you should have shoes on your feet. I don't know. if you're going to walk across a hot parking lot, or you're going to walk on rocks, or yeah, wear shoes. But the point is, the more that you can walk barefoot, now you've got a window of opportunity where the toes can become stronger. I could have easily turned this around and said the solution is making your toes very, very strong. If your toes and your feet grow stronger and you grow some new muscle, that'll solve all this. One study showed that people that walk barefoot for at least 6 months, they have twice as many arteries and twice as many veins. But I've seen it over and over again. As you improve the strength of your feet, just go to the playground today and climb all over the monkey bars and, you know, the logs, and climb everything you can, climb on rocks barefooted. But if your toes become stronger, you're telling your body, I need you to grow some more arteries so I can have better blood flow. So the solution is greater delivery of oxygen and nutrients to your toes. Now, another thing that you could try getting what's called ozonated olive oil or ozonated coconut oil. It usually goes for about $24.95 for a tub of it. But that's basically, they just infuse ozone or O3 or a form of oxygen into the oil, and you can apply that to the toenails, and sometimes that works wonders. You're just kind of applying oxygen to your toes.
Okay. What about these mushrooms that you were talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Ergothionine, I guess it is.
Yeah, that's right. That's the ergothionine. That's what's found in mushrooms. And that may be considered the greatest antioxidants to repair circulation or the vascular bed of anything that's ever been studied.
Really?
I find it fascinating. I still don't know as much about it as I should, but, you know, I'm like you are. I'm learning.
Well, I try harder than most people my age to keep myself in pretty decent shape.
Man, I'm so proud of you. Keep it up. What a good example you are. Good man.
And I take cod liver oil, and I eat salmon, and exercise and swim. And
can I tell you the other way that you can do all this by doing a blood test?
Sure.
Okay, so you don't have to write these down, but you can if you want to. There's a substance called uric acid.
Yes.
When uric acid goes above the number 5, that's where you have blood pressure problems, thus damaging your arteries and your veins so you don't have great blood flow. So you want to be 5 or below. The next one is a marker called hemoglobin A1C. When that's above the number 5, that means you've got too much. Do you know what rock candy is?
Yeah.
Okay, when your hemoglobin A1C is above the number 5, it's like you got crusty, crackly, sharp shards of glass called rock candy or rock sugar in your arteries. So you want your hemoglobin A1C to be 5 or below. Okay? If you have a serum magnesium test done, you want that to be above 2.4. And the reason I'm saying that also, one of the roles of magnesium is to make sure your body can hold a greater saturation of oxygen. I'm not trying to wear you out talking about myself, but I took a fair amount of magnesium this morning. Why? Because I want to have a good day. I want more oxygen in my body. So you can have serum magnesium tested. The other marker that I think would really be in your best interest is one called C-reactive protein. And so if that's above the number 1, you might have an issue or a problem. And then the last one, just measure insulin. If your insulin levels are above 5, that's going to directly cause this problem in your toes because you got too much crusty sugar in your arteries. So I'm not trying to be mean by saying that, but that's some simple things that you can look for. And you can do all those yourself. You can just go to the lab and have them done.
What did you say the C-reactive protein should be?
I think it should be below the number 1. But that's going to give you a very good idea if you've got some type of a low-grade inflammation in your body. That's just another way of saying is the body in disrepair. So you've got a great story. You're telling me that your body is telling you there's something going on with the toes. You just don't have symptoms yet, which is, I like that. I don't want you to have numbness, tingling, burning, pain, pins and needles in your legs and feet. I don't want you to develop a neuropathy.
But I have neuropathy.
Well, that kind of goes back, if I can. I'm not trying to beat you with this, but you have very poor circulation if you have neuropathy. Well,
the podiatrist, I've seen him two times, I guess, and yeah, mm-hmm. Last time I was there, he said, "Would they have any other issues with your feet?" And I said, "Yeah." I says, "Now that you mention it," I says, "my feet just freezing at night."
Oh, really?
And I said, "I thought that, you know, that they would just." I even went and bought one of them heated mattress pads, and that didn't work. And finally, one of my calves was itching, and so instead of reaching down under the covers and everything, it was winter, I used my other foot to scratch the calf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, my feet's not cold. They okay. Just feel like they're cold. And I'm telling him all this. So he says, did you ever work around a lot of ag chemicals? And I said, some, but not a lot. He says, well, did you ever consume large quantities of alcohol? I said, yeah. I said, I was a rip-roaring alcoholic before I was 32 years old.
Which I do think he's asking good questions, by the way.
And I do what I can to combat the neuropathy in my feet. Like right all morning since listening to you, starting to listen to you, had a little rubber spiky ball.
Oh, that's perfect. Way to go.
And I work them on my feet every morning, and I think that helps some, but,
Well, that's a move in the right direction, so way to go.
Well, I will.
You can do toe raises. You can do calf raises. You can walk on the balls of your feet. You can walk on the soles of your feet. You can walk outside for as much as you possibly can. You can keep the shoes off all day long when you're in the house. Is that possible?
Well, I just decided yesterday that I was going to have to start walking barefooted in the house and leave my Birkenstocks that I've used for house shoes for 30 years.
Yeah, ditch them. Unless you have to have them. I mean, if there's a water moccasin or copperhead or boa constrictor in the house, maybe you should wear your shoes then so you can kick it or something.
Well, you know, you do know what Birkenstocks are.
Yes, sir, I do.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, years ago, in excess, probably over 40 years ago, I was watching Johnny Carson. And this old woman he was interviewing, she's touting these Birkenstock shoes. And one of the things she said was, if you wear these two-strap Birkenstocks and you got to grip them with your toes as you walk, he says, that'll really fix cramps in your feet. Well, I used to have cramps in my feet all the time. In the nightstand, I would keep a 10 or 12 pencils, lead pencils, in there, because when my feet started to cramp up, I could see my toes starting to cross. So I'd grab them pencils and stick them between the toes. But,
man.
I started wearing those Birkenstocks, and I haven't had hardly any cramps in my feet since then.
Well, without me being critical, there's nothing wrong with you wearing Birkenstocks if you're just going to wear them for 10 minutes a day or something like that. That's fine.
When I was a young man, which was a few years ago, we called me and my friends called Birkenstocks when the hippies started wearing them. We called them Jesus boots.
Never heard that term.
Well, I don't think they're really Jesus boots, but no.
No, but they're gonna keep you from having great circulation, though. I know that.
Really?
They're not in your best interest. No, no way.
Well, anyway, I'm just walking.
Yeah, just dump them. Dump the shoes. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate you, and I'm.
All right. I hope that helps, buddy.
I'm glad you're on the radio.
Well, thank you very much. I take that as a high compliment.
All right. You have a blessed day.
You betcha, buddy. Appreciate your phone call. Bye-bye. All right. I think there's time for at least one more phone call. There's about, 5 to 6 minutes left. Good morning and welcome to the program. Hello. How are you?
Good morning. So, two things that are being advertised a lot that I'm seeing. Moringa,
mm-hmm.
And methylene blue. Will you talk about some of those?
Yeah, you betcha. Okay, methylene blue. It's the very first patented drug that got the okay or whatever. I think it was used primarily to treat women with urinary tract infections. So the caller earlier about the woman who has a chronic UTI is methylene blue might actually be an antidote. But what I remember about that was back during World War I, when we sent our soldiers to fight against the German army in World War I, that's what they had all the men do to try to prevent malaria. They had them take enough methylene blue to where their urine, they would basically pee, a blue color. If I'm not mistaken, methylene blue is the dye they use for Levi's jeans. I'm not making that up. That's really true. So methylene blue is a way that you can try to see if it helps improve your oxygen saturation of the body. I think it's fine to
try. If you're a brand that you know and trust to be legit.
I don't know the answer to that, but I think that you're probably going to, if it's advertised as methylene blue, I don't know how they could mess that up because it's just a very, very blue color. You know, your white silk shirt that you wear and your white silk suit you wear to church on Sundays?
No.
Well, I was going to say you probably shouldn't be drinking methylene blue through a straw while you've got that on, because if you get a drop on it, you're not getting it out. It'll look like blue jean denim. But methylene blue, do you mind if I just make one comment? I realize every human being has to sort through everything that they hear and they read, and they have to try to find out for themselves what's actually true. But I would say if I had to choose two things where they might exaggerate the effectiveness, it'd probably be methylene blue and moringa, or moringa. I like methylene blue, but it rarely addresses all the issues. And so, just like the gentleman I was talking to, I was trying to kind of gently build a case that his blood flow and circulation is not so great. He could take methylene blue, but what's really going to give him the biggest bang for the buck is just buckling down and doing the hard work by ditching the shoes and doing all those exercises to make his feet and legs and calves super strong again. That's what's going to be the solution. As well as, you know, foods that are good for him. I've asked probably 200 people, what is your experience with methylene blue? And I would say half of them are very positive. The other half, they can't tell the difference. So I like positive results. The moringa, I think I've had much lower results just by questioning people. How much progress have you made? It's an adaptogen, comes from a tree. And if they get great results, good. I have no argument. But if somebody's throwing their whole, if they're putting everything, you know, all their chips are on moringa and they're not getting any results, I'm going, well, maybe that's not in your best interest. So I think it works well for some people, but not for everybody.
Okay. Cool. I appreciate your time and I appreciate you very much.
Thank you, buddy. I hope you have a great day, and I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. God bless.
All right. Thank you very much for your phone call. That's very, very nice of you. One of the reasons why I talk about natural remedies so much is because, you know, at the end of the day, we just have to rely on the wisdom of God. He knows exactly what we need. So he's put all these things that we need for great health and having a great life here on earth. When I look around, like this morning, it was about, 6:05. Just the beautiful glow of the morning sunrise. Of course, it wasn't sunrise, but you could tell it's about to start. But all the oranges and the pink hues and maybe a little bit of magenta or even violet just makes you want to just stop and do nothing but just stare at the sunrise. He's given us everything that we need to have a great life. Now, unfortunately, there are groups of people or corporations that probably want us to be sick all the time. I don't want you to be sick. I want you to be very healthy and strong, because if you have health, that is your ticket to being able to function at a high level. And you can actually live out the very purpose or the reason why God himself, or if I say Jesus, he is the one that made you in his image. So it's been a pleasure visiting with you today. Lord willing, I will be back this time next week.